Lekutasichas Chelik Yudches, Parsha Bolok Sicha Aleph, a summary of the Sicha. Generally speaking, whenever Rashi gives interpretations which are based on Adrasha, which means not strictly in the simple sense of the meaning of the Psukim, but rather more interpretive, it's only when it's forced upon him by the Pshat, that there is for some reason he needs to rely on that interpretation, because there's a difficulty without it. But in Parsha Bolok, especially in the words of Bilam, Rashi relies heavily on the drushas, interpretations which come from various places in Gemara and Medrash and so on these psukim. And the reason is simple, because Bilam himself says, the pasuk says, that Bilam held forth with his parable, Vayisam Mishaloi. And it says it a few times. In other words, that these psukim are meant to be interpreted. They're not meant to be understood simply in the simple sense of the words. They are meant as a mashal, which means that they have an interpretation to them. So therefore Rashi explains them more according to interpretations of the words. So let's focus on one of those Rashis. The pasuk says, Kiloi Nachash, Bilam is saying, Kiloi Nachash b'Yaakov, there are no sorcerers amongst Yaakov, like Kesem b'Yisrael, there are no, another word for sorcery, fortune telling or whatever. Ka'es Yo'amah l'Yaakov, at a time it will be said about Yaakov, l'Yisrael, and about Yisrael, Ma po keil, what has Hashem wrought? What has He done? So what is the meaning of this pasuk? So Rashi gives two interpretations, and he dwells on, you know, explains them thoroughly. Ka'es Yo'amah l'Yaakov, Rashi says, and he explains, Oid asid liyas eis kazeis, there will yet come a time, like this time, similar to this time, that the love of Hashem will be revealed to all, the love of Hashem to the Yidden will be revealed. They sit before Him and they study Torah from His mouth, and their place where they are is even more inner than where the angels are, the service angels are. And the angels will be asking the Jewish people, what is Hashem doing? They won't know. The Yidden will know the news. And this is what the pasuk means. Your eyes will see your teacher. That's one shot. That ma pol keil, what is the meaning of ma pol keil? There will come a time when they will ask, what is Hashem doing? The Yidden will be asked, what is Hashem doing? They know better what's going on. Another pshat is Yo'amah l'Yaakov ein loshen osid, that what will be said about the Jewish people is not that it'll be said in the future. It's something that will happen now. Eloh loshen hayved means now, meaning to say they don't need to rely on the sorcerers and fortune tellers, because whenever there is a need to, that Hashem needs to tell the Yidden what he is up to and what he plans, or magzeiros b'amorim, what he decreed in the heavens. They don't have to rely on the sorcerers and fortune tellers. It is related to them through the prophets what Hashem is doing in the heavens, what are His decrees in the heavens. Or they get it from the Urim V'Tumim, which means the breastplate of the Kohen. They are the ones that related to them. And Unculus did not interpret it this way. That's the Rashi. So this Rashi has many questions. First of all, how does Rashi take all this out? The Yidden sit and they learn Torah from Hashem. They're more inner than the angels are. And the angels have to ask the Yidden what's going on with Hashem. How does he take all this? Where does he see all this in the pasuk? Why does Rashi need two interpretations? What's wrong with one interpretation? We know that if he gives two, it's because there's a problem with one of them and also with the other, and that's why he needs both. Usually when he puts the first pshat before the second pshat, it means that the first one is primary. He considers that one to be closer to the Pshuto Shel Mikra. But in this case, it seems that the second pshat seems much closer to the simple meaning that there are no sorcerers, and that whenever you need a message, Hashem tells it through the prophets. That seems much more clear than a whole story about the Jews being more inner than the angels and so on. So to explain this whole progression of these psukim in the way Rashi sees them, Bolok hired Bilam to put a curse on the Jewish people. So, and Bilam said, I can't do it. He held forth with his parable. The Jewish people are blessed, and Hashem has they hold a special place in Hashem's heart, and I can't put a curse on them. That's what his general message is. The Jews are special, they're on a much higher level, and so on. So in this pasuk he says, the Yidden, I can't put a curse on them. They are not into sorcery, they're not controlled by sorcery. They are deserving a blessing because they don't have sorcerers among them. So when Bilam said those words, he suddenly realizes that puts a great downer on him. What is Bilam's profession himself? He's a sorcerer. And he just said that the reason the Jews deserve a blessing is because they don't have sorcerers. So what does that say about Bilam? So he had to immediately deflect from that and to point out to Balak, the problem is not that I am a lowly person because I'm a sorcerer. The problem, the reason I can't put a curse on them is because they are very special and dear to Hashem. So he immediately turned it into that. The second part of this pasuk, Ka'esi Amal Yaakov Lisro Ma Paul Kael, was to take it away from the from this point that I am a sorcerer. So in other words, the second part of this pasuk is there to talk about the greatness and the how the Yidden are special and dear to Hashem. Now let's understand the pasuk itself. The pasuk says, Ka'es, like this time, there will come a time, Ye'omer, it will be said in the future about the Jewish people. What is the time? Like this time. This time is a well-known time when the Jewish people were known to be beloved to Hashem. When did Hashem show His great love to Hashem? By Matan Torah. He said, V'yisem lizgula, you will be the chosen nation to me from all the other nations. Don't think that I don't have anybody else that I could choose. I could have chosen any one of them, but I didn't. The whole world belongs to me. Kili kol ha'aretz, the whole world belongs to me, but I chose you. So he's saying there will come a time when, just like this time when I showed you my belovedness, I will show you again. So what happened by Matan Torah? What was unique about it was the Eibishter spoke to the Yidden directly. That's what he did by Matan Torah. He spoke, he taught them Torah directly. So Rashi says there will come a time when Hashem will be sitting there and teaching Torah directly to the Yidden too. That's what it means. Ka'ez, just like now, will happen then. That's obviously what it means. And since in that pasuk Hashem showed that not only do I love you, but He also showed the contrast that He not like the others, but I love you. So there must be something that He's showing a contrast here too. Contrast to who? To the non-Jews in this instance? Can't be, because they have no connection to Torah. I will teach you Torah directly, but not the non-Jews. They have no shaychus to Torah. So they can't be the other side of this. Therefore, Rashi says, who could it be? It has to be the angels. The angels also study Torah. But the Yidden will be more special than the angels, and not just any old angel. Let's say the angels which are sent on missions down to the world, which are the angels that we're more familiar with. But Malachi Asharis, even the angels which stand before God and they serve Hashem up there. Even to them, the Yidden will be, in comparison to them, will the Yidden be more special. And they will be in an inner sanctum even more than those angels. So Rashi says, but the question could come up, what happened by Matan Torah? When Hashem spoke directly to the Yidden, they said, no, we can't take this, it's too much, and you should speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they stood back from Har Sinai. So how does Rashi know that in the future it will happen in that way? Maybe it'll happen like by Matan Torah, that an attempt was made, but it couldn't follow through. So Rashi says, no, the pasuk says clearly, V'zeu shenemar, V'hoyu enecha royis esmerecha, your eyes will see your teacher. That although by Matan Torah it wasn't possible, but then it will happen that way. And he continues and he says, Shehem yoshvim lufana, they sit before him, they study Torah. Rashi says, it's not like a one-time thing that happened by Matan Torah, and after it was over, it was over. This will be an ongoing thing. This will be continuous in the time of in that future time. And that's how the Yidden will be seen to be beloved, understood to be beloved. So that's a pretty good shot, but it has one problem. The question is, all this will happen in the future. Why does that in any way prevent Bilam from putting a curse on them now? That's something in the future. So therefore Rashi says, okay, that's a good question. There's another pshat. In this other pshat, it is all about the present. Ya'amir is not something that will happen in the future. It's talking about what is the current situation too. The Jewish people have this tremendous quality that they do not rely on, that they're not subject to sorcerers and fortune tellers. And that's the reason that they're subject only to bracha, and therefore Bilam can't put a curse on them now. But according to this pshat, the second part of the pasuk, Ke'es Ye'omer LeYaakov, is only a follow-up to the first part of the pasuk. It's just saying the same thing again. They're not subject to sorcery. They get their information from the prophets, is the second part of the pasuk. So what's Bilam adding? There's nothing being added to his great adoration, or his, not adoration, but the way he sees the Jews, that they're so special. So that's why would Bilam say something just repeating the same thing? That's another problem. So therefore he goes back to the first pshat. The first pshat is closer to the simple meaning, because in this entire parsha, Bilam is talking about the greatness of the Jewish people. So he must be saying in this second half of the pasuk must be something great about the Jewish people, which is not simply repeating the previous part of the pasuk. And therefore Rashi goes with the first pshat as the main pshat. The Rebbe says that it's possible to see these two pshatim as discussing a question that is asked in general. And the question is, it seems that the difference between these two pshatim are, there is this great quality that will happen to the Jewish people, but in the future. And then there is a semi-quality that the Jewish people have, which is not an absolutely outstanding quality like the one in the future, but it is present, but it's already happening now. So the question could be asked, what is more important? What should one go for? A greater quality in the future, or a smaller quality, but we have it now? And that's, Rashi seems to be leaning in favor of, because he uses the first pshat as the main pshat, that a greater quality in the future seems to be what one should go for. But it's not 100% necessary that this proves it, that Rashi would also apply that in other places, for reasons that the Rebbe explains, but it's a little complicated in the summary. And the Rebbe concludes by explaining why Rashi concludes the Rashi by saying, but Unkelos doesn't explain it that way. Why would Rashi need to say that? There are many places in which Rashi doesn't explain it the same way as Unkelos, but he doesn't point out that Unkelos has a different interpretation. Why here? And the reason is because throughout this parsha, as we said, it seems to be the message is the Jewish people are special. And Unkelos also interprets all of these psukim in that way, except for this one pasuk. In this one pasuk, he simply interprets it as Kiloi Nachash B'Yaakov, means the sorcerers don't want to give a blessing to the Jewish people. The kaisim, the sorcerers, another word for it, they don't want the greatness of the Jewish people. So he interprets it in a very simple, in a very direct pshat, poshita pshat way, rather than showing it to be talking about the qualities of the Jewish people. So Rashi wonders about that. In the entire parsha, he always saw the pshat in this way, but in this particular case, he doesn't. So therefore, he points it out. He doesn't dismiss the pshat of the Unkelos, because Rashi and Unkelos are allies. They both always look for the pshuto shel mikra. Even sometimes where Rashi finds the need to rely on a medrash, Unkelos still goes with the pshuto shel mikra. So therefore, Rashi always is an ally to the Unkelos, and even when he disagrees with him, he points out the Unkelos did not go my way in this case, acknowledging the Unkelos pshat as well. Rashi concludes, the Rebbe concludes with a lesson that even though those great qualities that we talked about are something that we will see in the future, but the truth is that they exist now too. Even now the Jews are beloved. It's just that then it will be seen. Even now Hashem sends us messages through our Nevi'im. The Nevi'im means the leaders of the Jewish people. We have instructions on what needs to be done now. And when Hashem talks to us, it's not only by Matan Torah or in the future that He talks directly to us. When a Yid sits and learns Torah, he is learning Torah together with Hashem. Hashem sits and learns Torah together with him. And if we have all of these things, we have the power of the prophets and of Hashem Himself, and everything is happening to us right now only in a concealed way, we know that we don't have to be impressed by what all the Bilams in the world and all the Bullocks in the world, the kings and the ministers and the important people and the prophets, what they have to say, and they want to mock what we do. We have no interest in their mockery. We know that we walk with Hashem and we talk through Hashem. Hashem talks through us, and that is what keeps us strong, and that's what will bring us to the Geula immediately.